This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. Or at least kind of attempt to on a Friday and ask Dr. Jesse Friday as we cover all of your questions. I'm sure you're pretty already aware of what a lot of those questions are going to be centered around as we all continue to process the grief of the week. The killer allegedly was arrested today. I say allegedly, obviously hasn't been convicted yet. The killer was arrested today. Just a heads up for you, I will not be naming him on this show. Longtime listeners of the show know that is something I believe in. In fact, I know it's unrealistic. I would like to see that become a nationwide thing. Killers, school killers, assassins don't get named because lots of times these kids are messed up, seeking fame on the way out. You know, they want their names mentioned, so he will not be named on my show. Young 22-year-old from what appears to be a really normal family, 2 parents in the home, goes off to college, gets radicalized. We will have a discussion about that and so much more tonight as we comb through your questions and your grief. I don't know about you. I think I'm as bummed today as I was on Wednesday. I went to breakfast with Aub. We sent the kids to school. We were messing around the house, and I was just kind of mixed up and said, "Hey, do you want to go to breakfast?" I don't think we said 2 words. It's just my fault. It's a tough time. But I wanted to read an email for you. Before I get to all your questions and everything else, I wanted to read an email for you that blessed me to no end. And I think maybe it'll bless you. And I've gotten tons of these. I'm hearing stories like this. And remember that great, 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 wonderful, good things can emerge from evil things. They do. Happens all the time. Dear Jesse, today I cried with a stranger. I was driving through the tiny town of Terry, Montana. I had my blinker to turn right back onto Main Street, but for some reason I felt compelled to go straight and hit a side road, so straight I went. A block down, I saw a woman walking with a Christian flag. I had an idea what she was doing, but I still rolled down my window and stopped and asked, "What's up?" She told me that between Charlie's assassination yesterday and today being 9/11, she was walking through town to pray for our nation. I told her, "God bless," put the trunk in motion again. Overwhelmed, I knew I couldn't go any further. I slammed on the brakes and jumped out. choking up as I walked back towards her, I asked if we could pray together. We prayed, hugged, and cried a little bit and parted ways. Before I left, she told me she was the local pastor's wife, and after lunch with a friend, something told her she needed to walk the town and pray. When I got back in the truck, I'll admit I may have wept for a minute before I regained my composure. When I left that town behind me, I left a sorrow that weighed on my heart. I'm not sure if she found anyone else, but I know in my heart God made our paths cross. God put us together in that moment, and it gives me solace knowing the Lord has a plan for our nation, and in due time, the Lord will have his final victory over evil. You have my permission, and I request to use my full name. His name is Gary Tank. Gary is not a one-off. And I know for a fact that you have seen things or read about things or heard things similar to that over the last terrible, terrible 72 hours as we try to process our grief and our anger. We are coming together, waking up. I had a lady write in and say her, I think it was 23, her 23-year-old son had never been political. Gave her a call. Mom, I'm getting involved. I'm running for local office. I know that this is awful, that this is a very tough time. I know it is. But I want to remind you that the death of a martyr has so many times in history accelerated the martyrs' movement, not holding it back, not kneecapping it, not even slowing it down for a moment. The death of a martyr oftentimes accelerates the martyr's movement. That's why, as we discussed briefly yesterday, that's why countries are hesitant to assassinate political leaders they don't like, because they know that. It's known throughout history. You take one out, feels really good. We got him. Uh-oh, I just created a million more. People are waking up. They're getting involved. They're running for office. They're organizing. They're angry. They're praying together. They are recognizing evil. And how many times have you and I sat here and had the discussion that that is really what we need to save the country? That is the ultimate thing we need. It is for the norms, for the masses to rise and wake. You are already awake. You are already informed. Our never-ending goal, yours and mine, is to shake Norm awake and let him know evil forces are afoot. He has to get involved now. When you wake up, turn on the news, and find out an exceedingly kind 31-year-old man with two little kids was murdered. And then you look out across the landscape of America and see legions of Democrats celebrating the murder. That has an effect. And it does not have the effect the communists intend. Quite the opposite, actually. It has the effect of letting that normal person, that guy just wants to watch the game. I don't like Democrats, but I don't know. All sides are the same. I don't want to be political. It has the effect of waking that guy up, because that guy wakes up and says, uh-oh, we've got some dangerous people in our country. I better do something about it. Prompting them to action. How many children, as we talked about last night, I say children, but I mean teenagers, people in their 20s, how many young men and women didn't just have a tough moment? How many young men and women changed the course of their life because of what happened on Wednesday and will now dedicate large portions of their lives to snuffing out communism in this country? How many? A lot. People are rising. People are getting involved. People are stopping strangers on the street to pray together. There are good things happening. It's not all bad. Take some comfort in that as we grieve, all right? And we'll get through
so many of these Ask Dr. Jesse questions today. I wanted to do these two emails here in conjunction with each other. Dr. Bronco, whenever politicians and news reporters talk about a Muslim who commits a terrorist attack, they like to talk about how they were radicalized. Is there any chance the Justice Department will start investigating the communist training centers that are turning normal teenagers into terrorist adults? I'll combine that one with this. Jesse, the leader of the pack, he calls me. You mentioned that we're almost ready for a dictator. I'm 77 years old. When will I get to see the arrival of the dictator? I am going to just put this out there. And it is something we've talked about, but I know that there are a bunch of people in the Trump administration, no doubt in the DOJ, who listen to the show. I get that. I appreciate that. So I am going to put this out there loudly and clearly. You in the Trump administration, you, Pam Bondi, you, I hope you understand that you have a more important task than any Republican administration in the history of the United States of America has had. What you do over the next 3 years will determine how long this country continues to exist and that even looks even close to the country we have always known. What you do over the next 3 years, it's not the norm. It is to save the country from a radical shift that will bring violence and horrible things. What you do now with your next 3 years is everything. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, you better chalk up for this conversation. You have good energy today? Look, I'm not going to ask about your mood because we're all in a crappy mood right now, but how do you feel? You ready to go? Or are you exhausted and done? Chalk is here to make sure we are full of strength. Our minds are working well. It is such a palpable difference in every aspect of your life when you start taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk, whatever you decide to take. Even if you don't go with the stack. If you just started out every day with Chalk Lit Powder, you would notice such a difference in your energy, your health, your mind. I personally am a male vitality stat guy, as you well know. You want your T levels jacked through the roof naturally? Go to chalk.com/Jesse and start changing your life. Take it every day. 60 to 90 days, you're going to know it. And you're going to love it. Chalk.com, chok.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday as we try to slog through our grief and go through your questions and talk about the week and everything else under the sun. I am happy to be here with you. I am so glad it's not Saturday. I needed you tonight. I hope you're okay. And I hope you take this weekend with family, with friends. Maybe text someone you haven't in a while. Put your phone down over the weekend. I'm telling you this right now. I am going to try. I don't always succeed. I am going to try to throw my phone in the drawer when I get home, and I'm not grabbing it again till Monday. This weekend, we don't even have any sports this weekend. I'm going to smoke a brisket. We are going to get together with friends tomorrow night. We're going to hang out with the kids. It's a good weekend for that. All right, back to what we were talking about. The task ahead of Donald Trump and Pam Bondi. I'm just going to continue and say Trump, but just know a lot of this really falls on Bondi. The task before Donald Trump is now more monumental than it has ever been, and it is not a normal task, not a normal presidency. And here's why. We have lived for a very long time in a very free country where the executive, the president, did not have dictatorial powers, and where massive violence done from the government on American citizens really is unthinkable. And I know there have been incidents here and incidents there in the past. No question. The FBI has gotten more and more evil. And I know all that stuff is true, of course. But we're not talking about the kind of violence I'm talking about, because we've lived in a country that has been free of that violence. But the will of the people, it is not possible to ignore it. Historically, if you read books, if you study countries, it actually doesn't matter the form of government. When the people, when their will is pulling in one direction hard, even if it's an all-powerful king, I mean, the Russian czars, all-powerful, complete autocrats, they can be bounced from power and the people will choose something different if the will of the people is ignored. You cannot ignore the will of the people without end. And right now, tens of millions of Americans are disgusted by the communists in this country. We are mortified by their language, by their violence, by the things they are doing, and they are escalating. What that means for Donald Trump is he has to spend the next 3 years not just deporting people, not just doing trade deals. I know he's got a lot on his plate. I get it. The next 3 years have to be dedicated to legally and peacefully taking apart the communist network in this country brick by brick and piece by piece. I'm talking about the funding networks, the training networks. I'm talking about the online places where these people get radicalized. We know already this assassin was deeply involved in the communist online world, where they talk about murder as casually as you talk about Ritz crackers. That is the norm in that part, and it has to be taken apart. Warrants, doors kicked in, trials, prison sentences. And I'm not just talking about the street animals. I'm talking about the elite ones, too, with $2,000 lawyers. I'm talking about billionaires, foreign and domestic, marched off in handcuffs or by other means. The communist network in the United States of America must be taken apart by Donald Trump in the next 3 years or else. Or else what? Or else the people will demand other means. If I told you right now that I'm running for president, and by the way, I'm not. But if I told you right now I'm running for president, and you know what I will do? I will take every single journalist who uses language like Nazi to describe the right, and I'll throw them in a cage for 10 years. Then I'm going to go grab Delta Force and Navy SEAL Team 6, and we're going to go start kicking in the doors of every Antifa terrorist cell, and we're not even going to arrest them. We're just going to start killing them all as soon as we find them. Would you vote for me? That's my platform. Arrest journalists and kill people without trial. That's my platform. Would you vote for me? You would, wouldn't you? That should scare you about where we are as a country. It's not that a dictator will rise by force if Donald Trump does not smash communism in this country legally and peacefully the way I hope he does. The people will demand what I just said. They will demand it. Everyone thinks J.D. Vance is inevitable to be the presidential nominee in 2028. I'm here to tell you right now. And I like J.D. Vance, as you know. I like him a lot, and I think he's the odds-on favorite. There is a chance by the end of this 3 years that J.D. Vance is too soft for the job and someone else comes up. You know that? That's where we are. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to live in a country. I don't want a dictator. And I don't want the government sending even military people in to execute civilians. I don't even want journalists arrested for expressing their opinion. But that is the task before Donald Trump. The people are already demanding it. They are already standing up and saying, now, when, I'm ready, I'll vote for him today. They're already demanding it. Give me Franco. I'm ready for Pinochet. Bring him now. Only Donald Trump and Pam Bondi can stop it. And you can't do it nicely. And you can't do it in a way that makes James Lankford feel good. Speaking of which, I'm just going to savage that ginger eunuch here in just a moment. Before I do that, let me get to this email. I hate to be a I told you so guy, but you know how I've been telling you about Everywhere Pants from Cozy Earth? Listen to this. Jesse, the subject of this one is Everywhere Pants. I took your advice and purchased a pair of Everywhere Pants. Of course, you were right about their look and comfort. Despite needing them hemmed because I'm one of the shorts you're always complaining about, I will definitely be getting more, since I can use his name. His name is Brian. I have one pair of Everywhere Pants, and Jewish producer Chris and Corey can back me up on this. I told them both yesterday, if I had five or six pair, I would not need any other pants. I would not own another pair of pants except for maybe jeans when I'm working on something physical. I would not own anything else. I wear them out. I wear them to church. When I get home from church in my everyday pants, I don't put comfies on because they're on my Everywhere Pants. Go get yourself some. Ladies, don't worry, they got stuff for you. Also, you want to be a robe guy? You want to be a robe girl? That's my robe. It's Cozy Earth robe. Cozy Earth has the best, softest, best stuff. And yes, ladies, all the weird, healthy face cream stuff that Ob loves. CozyEarth.com. Promo code Jesse saves you a fortune. You're going to need that. CozyEarth.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll make fun of the ginger eunuch next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I want to talk about something that we have brought up before, and we will continue to bring it up until they fire me and take me off the air. Controlled opposition. You know what that term means, right? Of course you do, but just in case you don't. Pretending as if there's an opposition, but instead of actually opposing the enemy, they give him aid and comfort at just the right times so he can never be fully defeated. In a lot of people do not know this. In Stalin's Soviet Union, you know, communist rule. Of course, the communists ruled everything. Did you know there was an opposition party? There was a party that loudly opposed Stalin and the communists. Did you know it was created and backed by Stalin and the communists themselves? Stalin understood that people, even in a totalitarian system like that, remember he was always worried about being overthrown, always worried about the people rising up. People need the appearance of a choice. Otherwise, they feel like they don't have any outlet for their anger. Whenever they're mad, they don't feel like they have any place to go with it. And maybe they start grabbing weapons and overthrowing the government. And since they feared that, he knew an opposition party had to be allowed to remain. And he knew they had to be propped up and it had to seem legitimate. The Republican Party in the United States of America, I am not going to say it's the controlled opposition, but portions of it most definitely are. And you see this in critically important times where it matters the most. For example, you already know where I'm going. She said something stupid today, but I'm going to rewind first and we're going to talk about George Floyd's death. Communists in this country have forever tried to stoke the flames of race communism, and they wanted to use race communism to essentially destroy police departments and to open up prisons so vile little dirtballs could get out and murder people and rape people. That communists have had that goal for ages. That's been an open communist goal for ages. Well, we woke up one day, we saw some video of a sweaty black dude dying in Minneapolis with a cop kneeling on top of him. It was a bad-looking video, and the communists immediately recognized it for what it was, a tremendous opportunity. An opportunity because people were emotional. People were emotional. It created an emotional reaction, no matter who you are. Even a jerk like me, it was a tough video to watch right away, right? I never bought into the commie stuff. It was a tough video to watch. Watching a man die is bad. It's awful. So the communists knew that this was the moment to do another thing he really wanted to do, and that is destroy historical monuments and names. As we've talked about before, as I wrote in the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com, don't roll your eyes, Chris. This is what they all do. Stalin renamed the roads. Lenin renamed the parks, the city streets. Mao did the same thing, renaming things, tearing apart old historical things. Communists tear down history. Pol Pot did the same thing and then declared year zero. There's nothing else before this. That's why communists do it, to try to unmoor you from your past so they can write your future. And our communists are no different. They recognized it as an opportunity to start tearing down statues and renaming military bases. Now, maybe you don't think that was a big deal. I'm here to tell you it's everything, and they know it's everything. Destroying history is a critical part of the communist revolution. And when they were getting everybody whipped up into a frenzy and using the death of George Floyd to tear down the history of this country, gut police departments and everything else, the ginger eunuch United States senator from the blood red state of Oklahoma ran to the news and said this.
We've seen leading voices like General David Petraeus saying it's time to stop having military bases named after Confederate generals like Braxton Bragg. Is it time?
I do, actually. And I think the right way to be able to do this is to be able to have a study, to be able to look at where the name come from, what do we need to have to be able to take a serious look at it, and then to be able to transition. There are lots of great leaders, military leaders that are around the country that are modern leaders that we can continue to be able to honor.
When the communist was accelerating his movement years ahead, the ginger eunuch from Oklahoma, Senator Naked Kendall Langford, ran in with a whole can of gas and dumped it on the flames. Now, here we are, 48 hours removed from another communist committing another act of violence. Remember, it was a year ago they did it to Donald Trump. He just happened to turn his head. It should have been Trump and Charlie Kirk. Another angry communist, radicalized by Democrat language, by media language, radicalized by the communist network online, funded by billionaire communist donors, kills another one of our leaders, and in a moment where national outrage and focus should be on the sick commie scum doing this across the country, the ginger eunuch from the red state of Oklahoma goes to the news and says this.
And to say we should live out our faith, the principles of our faith, all of the time on it, even how we respond in anger in moments like this. But to also to be able to ask each other, why can't we at least talk about things where we disagree?
What? You think they want to talk to you? They want to kill you. It's not just one. Here's something from political polls. It was YouGov who did the poll. 77% of Republicans believe it's always unacceptable to feel joy at the death of someone they oppose. You know what the number is for Democrats? 38%. You know how many emails I've gotten from, maybe the most jaw-dropping one is medical personnel. People telling me they work in a hospital and they're celebrating. Some guy said someone made brownies and brought them in to celebrate in the hospital break room. Teacher after teacher after teacher running online celebrating it. Lawyer after lawyer. Democrat after Democrat after Democrat. A Secret Service agent now lost his job for it. Democrats across the United States of America watched a 31-year-old man get his throat blown out in front of his young daughter, and they couldn't possibly be happier. And you think we're going to sing Kumbaya? You disgust me. I'm telling you, the visceral hatred I have for this low-T GOP-controlled opposition nonsense exceeds the hatred I have for communists, because without losers like James Langford, we would never have gotten to this point where the communists have metastasized the way they have, turned flat-out evil and murderous, and now that is normal Democrat thinking. It is mainstream Democrat thinking that people have to get hurt. People have to die. Oh, they got him? Ha, ha, ha. It's funny. That is not radical. That's not rare on the left. That is mainstream Democrat talk now. And in this moment where we should be moving our movement forward years ahead as we smash these vile, vile demons, of course, the James Langfords of the world. Well, I need to live out my faith. No, you're not. You're living out your cowardice, you gross little girl. Pathetic. Pathetic. God, it sickens me. All right, we're going to move. Let's talk about security measures. Shoot, let's talk about a food I used to eat that I can't anymore before we get to that. Let's not lose our retirement as we lose so many other things. I want you to go look at gold prices today. I don't even want you to, don't take my word for it. Go look at gold prices today. Why do you think this keeps happening? Why does gold keep climbing higher and higher and higher with no end in sight? Because people are buying it up as fast as they can as they look at the debt situation on the planet. It's not just us. The debt has piled up to such extreme levels across the planet that nation states like China are buying up every ounce of gold they can get their Chinese fingers on. Get some in your retirement. Get some in your physical possession. Goldco will handle it for you. They've placed over $3 billion in gold and silver. You're going to qualify or possibly qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. Go. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, why don't high-profile people use drones as added security measures at events? They are inexpensive, life-saving tools. Okay, so one, all right, let's just talk. First of all, Charlie Kirk took security very, very seriously. You should know that. He was always aware that there were going to be threats on his life. He was always getting threats on his life. Anybody who not only speaks on college campuses but confronts in person left-wing young people understands there is a violent streak there. Democrats are naturally more violent anyway, but the younger ones with less impulse control, spend more time online, can get extremely radicalized. He understood that, and he had excellent security. Two, shooting somebody from distance with a relatively crappy high-powered rifle, it's just not that difficult. It's not. It's just not that difficult to do it. There were a lot of rumors going around about professional this and professional that, and I don't know. I don't want to speak to that because I don't know the background. It doesn't look like there's any sort of professionalism there. If I were to hand you, honestly, even if you're not really a shooter, and you and I went to the range with 100 rounds and a rifle, with the optics today, you could drill targets at 200 yards easily, with very little effort, especially from the prone position, meaning laying down from the prone, easily. We would make 500-yard shots in the Marine Corps boot camp, guys who had never shot before, 500-yard shots without an optic, open sights. It's part of how you had to qualify. It's not a difficult shot. So you mentioned drones. Security is, like so many other things, private security is reactive. It is reactive. And now I am sure that drone coverage will increase. I am sure it will increase. But as you noticed, remember, a year ago, I think it was just a little more than a year ago, they tried to murder Donald Trump in the exact same way. A rifle, an elevated position, a shot not too far. Yes, drones help. But really what you need is a counter-sniper team. You need counter-snipers. Sniper teams who identify where a sniper could possibly set up, and they either set up there themselves or they keep eyes on it at all times. And you have to be trained enough to kill a sniper before he can kill your principal, before he can kill the person you're trying to protect. I'm not saying it can't be done. It can be done, but consider this. You know what private security costs? I told you this before. There is somebody you know. I'm not going to name him because I don't have his permission, but there is somebody you know. You most definitely know his name. Very prominent in this field, the conservative sphere. He spends over $100,000. I believe the number is $120,000 a month on private security because he gets death threats all the time. $120,000 a month. Think about the staggering cost of that. It is expensive. Very, very, very expensive to get private security. And there are different levels. If I'm going to do an event, if I want a bodyguard, some big beefy dude, make sure no one comes up and punches me in the face, you can do that. I would say you're going to spend, even if you're spending $500, $1,000 an hour, it's a few hours, okay, hopefully the event's sponsored, you get it done, you're good. But that's really not very much security. One big beefy dude, he may save you from someone coming up and beating you up, but somebody wants to kill you, walk right up to you with a pistol, he's not going to do anything about it. Okay, so now I need two dudes. Well, that's actually not enough either because you really need them in front and behind. You need people. So now I need four. All right, but even still, by the way, we haven't even gotten to looking for someone up there with a deer rifle yet. Now, well, I've got three, four guys sitting around me. Now, how many counter-sniper teams do I need with all their equipment, weapons, optics, communications, radios, communications, the walkie-talkies, I'll put it that way. How many do I need? Yeah, Jewish producer Chris just brought up people in the crowd. You know, at whatever professional baseball game or football game or whatever you go to, did you know there are undercover cops all around you dressed up in jerseys, screaming and yelling for the game, probably even holding the beer? Why do they do that? Go into the crowds. The best way to identify threats before something terrible happens. Are you doing the math? I'm not saying don't spend the money, but what you're also doing with this stuff is you're reducing the number of events we will do because of the added expense to the event. This all has, someone has to pay for all that somewhere. Someone has to pay for it. Now you've increased the expense. So it's, and I'm not saying it was dumb. It was a great email. You're right. The use of drones, and they're starting to use it more extensively. The military, all these, they are using it. I'm not insulting you. It was a smart email, but we think to ourselves, well, just add blank. Just add body armor. Just add counter snipers. Just add just add this. Just add that. Well, you're just adding money. Boatloads and boatloads of money. And then if you're doing an event, you know, on a college campus, the way Charlie did, how much security becomes so much that it's not a welcoming place where kids want to show up and have the open dialogue they had. You don't want to do it. We went to a 4th of July celebration once in my hometown, and my hometown is just so unbelievably locked down. I think there's a cop for every friggin' citizen, which is fine. It's nice. It's safe. There's no violent crime, but to get into the fireworks display, there were like three checkpoints. And look, I love security and I'm all about it, but both of us were all, you know, this at some point in time doesn't feel very festive anymore. Something to think about. All right, let's break this cycle here for a moment. Let's talk about someone being more bold with your lib friends. And what food can't I eat anymore? Next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.